I have a letter here. Written a long time ago to a Mrs. Bixby in Boston. So bear with me. Dear madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine that would attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost. The solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, 12:40 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. That was Harv Presnell from Saving Private Ryan at the top of the show. How about that speech? One of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorites in all of the war movies.
It's going to be a little bit of a veteran-themed episode. Absolutely, to thank our veterans for this week. We had Veterans Day on Wednesday.
Which is today while we're taping.
That's right. So it's in the blood. You got to, remember to thank the veterans.
Absolutely. And I'll have some shout-outs as the show goes on to some of those guys that proudly served this country. So that me and you can sit here tonight and talk about them.
Any guys over at Wirtz that are veterans that you work with? Lots of...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I hate to say this, but I don't really know. I imagine there is.
Yeah.
We're doing a drive right now with wine that's all about supporting the troops. So every piece of wine purchase that you make on certain products gets donated towards the troops and their families, and Wirtz actively takes place in that. So
that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, and that's usually they do it every year around this time. So yeah, they do a lot of good charitable stuff. We got a coat drive at work. They do all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, I remember. I like the fact that obviously, I've taken the police and fire exams in the past trying to get on. But one of the cool things that I think they do is veterans preference.
Yeah, of course. You got to
do
that.
What's my number? Well, your number is this, but there is a veterans preference. And you're like, you're right.
Absolutely. You can't argue with that.
No. So thank you, veterans.
Absolutely.
I had a good time last week. I want to remind everybody that tonight's episode is also sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. They are a presenting sponsor, and McCann's thanks the veterans as well. Bill, that was a fun Vegas episode that we talked about there. We had a lot of fun.
We talked about all kinds of different topics, including that had Las Vegas themed.
As much as you could talk about it.
Yeah.
So I hope our listeners can go back and find that on our freecrack.com.
Your tell-all book is coming out soon.
The tell-all, the Hoolies Hoolie tell-all book. We've been at this a year now.
I know.
Just two brothers talking.
It keeps getting more entertaining every time. I love it. Having a good time. Thank you, audience.
Anything on your agenda this weekend? There's some cool stuff going on. I know that I'm gearing up. Riley's daughter is going to be opening back up on the south side again, if you can believe that.
I know.
Boz O'Brien and Brendan O'Brien are bringing back the original Rileys.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are excited about this.
There's tons, because so many people on the South Side have like parents in the Irish community that met at Rileys.
There
was a real hub for the Irish American community at one time. They had the soda bread contest every
year. I remember that. Yeah.
The Bears, guys like that, would always be showing up signing autographs. Bands were, a lot of 80s hair metal bands and things like that started their careers.
Do they have a target date for that already? Or
I think it's November 19th. I think that's what I saw Brendan put on Facebook.
Yeah,
Riley's.
So we have Brendan O'Brien. He's going to be coming on the show a little bit later, and he's our guest this week, and he's going to tell us all about that. I'm very interested to hear from him about his experience at Midway Airport, because they do man a bar at Midway Airport.
Yeah, he's got some good stories, I bet.
What better place? You know, I'm sure he's probably seen quite a few veterans come home and have those, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Those scenes like that. Yeah,
that's probably... But he's told some pretty wild stories, and he's always good for that. So I'm excited to hear those.
Yeah, like, he went to Ireland with Dad and his show, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, and Dad said they had a real good time over there.
Yeah.
He's also a Mount Carmel High School graduate.
Which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, fellow alumni.
Clay, your dad's a veteran, or you're the late Larry O'Brien.
Yeah.
He was a very proud veteran, I remember. Was he a medic in Vietnam? What was his job?
He was not. We're not really sure what he did. I don't think too much of anything, but I'm not sure. But he was.
Yeah, he got lucky then.
He got drafted out of law school, actually. Right. So he had to go to, I believe, Da Nang, which is in Vietnam.
And, yes.
Was there for a couple years maybe, and then came back and had to finish law school.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was
a lot of times they do that. They go, back when the draft was eligible, they'd take guys, you know, they go, you're a lawyer, we're going to put you over here. We need to, this is where the brain's going. This is always like, I hate to say it, but that's kind of how it still works a little bit. You test out of things and.
Yeah. I mean, he was a good sharpshooter, he always used to say.
Yeah.
But he kind of did it all. And they put you where they needed you. And it's just.
Did you guys ever have the
time.
Inkling to join the armed forces?
No.
No?
I did my junior year of high school, the Marines came to Fenwick.
They did?
Like, this seems kind of cool.
I don't know. I didn't have enough guts, I guess.
No. I was scared, I guess. I mean, I didn't know a lot of guys that had done it, but and then all of a sudden, as I got a little bit older, after I like bombed out of college, I was thinking about it again,
right?
And then your guys that were like, all the guys I knew that went were like complete badasses, you know. And I was like,
well, sure,
yeah, of course they can handle it.
I don't really like being told what to do a lot, so it wouldn't be a good fit for me.
But
yeah.
Some of the guys that I knew that went weren't good with authority either. But when they came back, it was like, whoa.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, I mean, it's a great, it does turn people around. It's a great
tool. That's for sure. You got any guys you want to give shout outs to that are veterans?
Well, my dad, obviously, my grandfather, too, Robert McPartlin. He was a Marine. He was at Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
Was a great man. And Jim Amator, friend of ours.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a Marine as well. And just everybody who has done any sort of service, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like some Carmel guys I could think of, like Morgan McGarry,
yep.
Connor McClintock.
The Hefner brothers.
TJ and George Hefner, absolutely.
Yep. The list goes on and on.
Tons. I mean, there's so many great guys out there.
Thank God these guys are all came back, too.
I know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Real lucky, Although, you know, we've lost guys. It's weird. You know, we're in the middle of a war, and you have sometimes your friends go to war, and some of the guys that don't go to war are the guys that end up dying.
Right.
You know, like before their time, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
How do we dodge that bullet, you know? So thank you, veterans. Feel incredibly lucky that still have a safe place to live and eat. And, you know, Trump's gearing up.
Yeah.
I think I was thinking about that on the way over here. Because did you watch the debate?
I wasn't home.
I can't take it anymore. Just,
oh, you watched it?
It's too
a little
much.
Bit, but like the Trump stuff. I got out of Trump. Now I'm back into Trump. I get out of Trump. I'm like he's
got you.
He's like a drug.
He's reeling you in. You're just a fish on the hook.
Yeah, that's but it. I want to know what his like. Does he have a theme song yet? Does Trump have a?
I think it's I thought it was the one from Rocky.
It is.
No, who was the, wasn't there somebody, didn't he play a song and a band was like, no, we don't want to be affiliated with you, so.
No, it's the one
Neil
from
Young.
Karate Kid. We're the best around. I'm the best.
Come on.
No one's going to ever put you down.
That'd be pretty. Yeah.
Gotta be banned.
It's Trump comes out to that. Trump comes out to that.
History repeats itself.
Wow.
I do know what you're talking about.
Of course you do.
He should come out and cut a bonsai tree at one of his speeches.
He'd probably get. They'd be like, "The guys, we're hiring him."
What was?
You can do the best Mr. Miyagi impression ever.
Hey, what was the guy in? Who was the guy? It was Johnny, right? Put him in a body bag, Johnny.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was Johnny's last name?
William Zabka is the actor's name.
Is it really?
Billy Zabka. Yeah.
Billy Zabka. He's also in Hot Tub Time Machine.
He's fantastic
good
in Hot
movie,
Tub.
By the way.
He's fantastic in the Hot Tub Time Machine. That's right.
Yeah. Karate Kid is fantastic.
We went from veterans to Karate Kid to Hot Tub Time Machine.
He plays the guy in Hot Tub Time Machine. His girlfriend has to perform the certain act if, like, is it Elway throws a pick or something? They make a bet in the bar, and they're
They're watching, like, the 84 Broncos-Browns game. Or
something. Right.
I know,
It's a good scene. Who was the guy, though? There, did you guys ever see Karate Kid Part 3? With the guy with the ponytail?
I didn't make it that far.
Recently?
He's like a rich guy, and he's like
a
guy.
Oh, the guy looked like Edward Burns a little bit, like a poor man's Edward Burns.
And then there's like the kid from L.A., Mike, Bad Mike. He's like the guy that comes out to like kill
AC/DC
Daniel,
or something.
Then Will Smith's kid remade it again.
Right. Wow, they've made a big franchise out of the Karate Kid.
Apparently you can just remake movies now. You don't have to write original movies anymore.
They should make the, you know, a good one would be, you do a movie like Karate Kid, except it's about a guy, Karate Guy. You can't call the movie Karate Guy, but
it's about a grown man.
The Karate Man.
So, you know what? I'm going to start taking karate lessons. This job at UPS
but
is
the,
just
no,
too
but the Karate
stressful.
Man also has a mentor, like a Mr. Miyagi. He lives with him.
Who's a kid.
Okay.
There's a twist.
Hey, I just want
the Karate Guy.
Well, we're getting a little off topic here, I think. We do want to remind the audience, tonight's show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Yes, it is.
We're going to have Brendan O'Brien coming up on the show right after these commercial messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJewel's. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage. Sorry, we don't serve weenies.
The boss.
The boss.
Born in the USA.
It's a Veterans Day episode, even though we're doing it Saturday. It's Veterans Week, man.
Yeah, you got to give them the whole week. Just one day? That's ridiculous. How do you think give them every day, man. Every time you see those guys.
Every day is Veterans Day, for sure.
Do you think the Irish community would have appreciated if I came out with Band in the USA by Two Live Crew right there, just sampling the boss?
I don't think that's allowable.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Yeah.
Joining us tonight is a call-in. It's our good friend Brendan O'Brien. He's one of the proprietors of Riley's Daughter. They got a new spot opening up where the original used to be, I believe. Brendan, are you with us?
Yes, gentlemen. How are we doing tonight?
Thanks for being on the show. Brendan, where's the new Riley's going?
The new Riley's, boys, is going right where the old joint used to be from 1976. Until 2002, we opened up in Midway Airport the same year.
Yeah.
And sold the original location here in 111th and Pulaski, and just bought it back about a month and a half ago. So I'm literally standing as I'm talking to you guys in the very same bar where my parents met and where a lot of Southsiders met. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Let me ask you this. So what year did your dad start the first Riley's Daughter? Because it's an iconic bar on the south side of Chicago, very well known.
Yeah, June of 1976 he opened up here.
Yeah, and then it started out having like lots of bands in there. It was like kind of a club, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when he opened it here, it was you know, when he got in here originally, it was, you know, 1,476 square feet, and within a year, he expanded into the next room, started doing bands. In fact, Terry McEldowney, who, in conjunction with a couple other guys, I think Tom Black and Terry Walsh, if I'm correct on that, wrote the song Southside Irish, which is known, obviously, all over the South Side in 1984, in this Riley's Daughter. So,
yeah, they wrote right in the bar.
Yep, wrote it right in the bar after a couple cold ones on a night.
Brendan, are anybody in you got any veterans in your family?
Veterans, you know, my dad's my grandfather Lawrence Patrick O'Brien was a bombardier in World War II. He did 77 missions in Germany. So
that's awesome.
Absolutely,
wow.
It's a big thing today. Obviously, being that day and. I wouldn't be having this conversation with you two if one of those 77 times that plane didn't come back to base. So
right. Now, Brendan, when you opened the new Riley's, when is the open date, by the way?
Well, we have a scheduled open date, believe it or not, tonight. I mean, I've been here every day just trying to get stuff done. You know, everybody in my family, I've had friends helping out and everything. November 19th, which is next Thursday, will be the grand reopening of the original Riley's Daughter here. So
it's going to be pandemonium
really
there, isn't it?
Are you going to wear a tuxedo?
I think I might wear a tux. You know,
a green
maybe
tux.
Maybe just the top half of it, and I'll just go boxers on the bottom.
Yeah, I like that. Now, whose idea was it? What was Riley's? Whose idea was it to go back and buy the old joint? Was your dad like, "Hey, look, the old joint's for sale. Let's do this"?
Well, you know, guys, it's kind of weird how it all came about. I mean. You know, for me as a kid, I would say, you know, when we sold here, I was just in that age where everybody, you know, you're going out with your friends, boozing, and everybody's in between. You know, we were about 19. I was turning 20 when we got out of here.
How
so
convenient!
I felt like I got robbed.
How convenient of your dad to close right at that time.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were in our place in Midway, and I was in there, so it was going great in the airport, and I've enjoyed being there these last years, but we heard that, unfortunately, you know, the guy we sold the old Riley's to, Mike Quigley, and then he turned into Quigley's here.
Right.
He passed away kind of tragically, and, you know, his family just, you know, they weren't really involved in the business after his passing and stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, we just saw the lack of a crowd here and kind of heard through the grapevine it was for sale. So we inquired about it, not too serious, and it just everything worked out the way it needed to. So, and allowed us to get back in here. So
aesthetically, did you guys like do anything different to the joint? Did you tear any walls down, or is it?
You know, we did a pretty good amount. You know, when we sold it to the Quigleys, they did a real nice job, kind of redoing the bar from what Riley's used to be. Real nice, beautiful copper bar. We took out a few walls. We kind of opened it up a lot more. We built a much larger stage than what they had there. We just put some fresh paint up today, in fact.
So you guys are going to go right back to the sort of angle that you had before it closed. Like, we're going to go get comedy shows. We're going to get bands. We're going to get all that stuff back in
exactly.
here.
I mean, that's where the people, you know, I think, you know, in this neighborhood, especially guys on the south side here, you know, people are, you know, they're looking for a place to go where that has the live entertainment, that has the, you know, the right bartenders behind the bar, stuff like that. And I think we can capture that again with round two, mm-hmm. so to speak, here, you know.
How do you think Bourbon Street's going to feel about all this?
Well, you know. Maybe you can have Vince on next week and ask him. I don't know, you know.
Okay. All right.
No, you know, I think all in all, there's enough business to be in this neighborhood. There's a lot of bars, and there's definitely competition everywhere you look.
I got to ask this. Is there enough room to put an octagon in there?
Can we? Oh, for sure. Yeah, we can get a little, we can get a boxing arena. Maybe nice. We can get some of those little short people with some, you know, they have a little wrestling match or something.
Bring all that stuff back, Brendan. All that stuff's got to come back. And then what about, like, just Wolf of Wall Street all weekend in there?
That sounds like a hell of a time to me. I'm for that guy.
And then the Sundays are for the families.
As a bartender myself, you know, being in the business for, I don't know, 13, 14, 14, 15 years now for me.
Yeah, I've been in the same.
How many guys do you know that you used to ten bar with, or guys that used to ten bar on the south side or trying to come out of retirement?
I mean, there's been a lot of that. Yeah. We got a lot of people employed. You know, it's funny just because, you know, like I said, my dad opened here in 76 and I grew up here my whole childhood, kind of like you guys grew up with your dad and the life you're in now. And so it's kind of different careers, but both the same thing. We kind of took after our dads in that regard, but I've had so many people that used to work here, their kids and their cousins, and they're, you know, so we're getting like generations of that.
You got legacies coming in.
You got it. So,
are you a Riley's legacy? Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, isn't the slogan a Southside tradition? Am I correct on that?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about, you know, we're trying to recreate that again.
So what goes down? What's going to happen at Midway? Are you going to man the ship out on the south side now? And
I'll be here on 111th. My dad's going to be, you know, obviously reopening. He's going to be on 111th here, a good amount. But, you know, he's going to put his focus on the airport now that I'm not there. This place is going to soak up a whole lot of time. You know, the nice part about Midway, we have a great situation with more or less a captive audience in Midway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, here it's all about creating the business and promoting it and hiring the right people and you know, so it takes a lot of work and
legs. You got to get the young legs over there for that one.
You got it. You definitely got to have the young legs in this joint dealing with the, you know, all that headaches and all that. So.
You're gonna get some meatheads rolling through that door, no doubt.
we might have a few.
Get the long legs behind the bar, though. That's what you got to do.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I got to ask you this. By the way, I went to Vegas for the first time last weekend. We talked about that on the show.
For the first time?
I knew this because you and your old man love gambling and stuff, and you guys love Vegas, so I knew that
from time to time.
I knew you guys would have a good Vegas story, but you've working in the airport. You've got to see some of the most bizarre, like, great bar stories ever.
You know, you're 100% right, because so many people that come through, they don't know me. Unlike somebody walking into 111th Street where if you don't know them personally, you know their sister, you know their cousin, you know their aunt, so they're not gonna tell you something because you can retell it.
Right.
In the airport, people are not, you know, they'll tell you anything because they figure, this guy's from Chicago, and you know, somebody from Cleveland that I'm never going to see again, they'll tell me about some crazy night they had. You know, they met this girl at this hotel bar, and this happened, and then she's caught. You know, you hear all that. It's great. You know, it's like...
the dirt. Like, I've always found...
Yeah, you hear it all the time.
Yeah, I always found that, like, somebody came to me once and was like, what's it like 10 and bar? I go, it's kind of like being... Like, it depends what kind of bar you work in, but if you're in, like, one of those slowed-down kind of bars where people just want to come up and talk to you, it's, you become, like, a shrink for insane
100%
for people that are insane. You know, they come up and
there's a lot of crazies in this world, no doubt about it.
I'm cheating on my wife, and I only have $46 for Christmas presents. Exactly. Give me
a
double brandy.
I had a good one, actually. This guy that comes in weekly, so I've gotten to know him pretty well, but he knows, you know, this is in the airport now, and he tells me, you know, this story about he was having this extramarital, you know, thing going on the side, and he had this extra cell phone that he hid in his garage.
He had a burner phone
when he was home on the weekend, a little burner phone. And he hid it in his garage, and his wife was looking for some ornaments or something and finds this phone, opens it up, and all the text message, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Wow. So he was like, yeah, she's playing on it.
So I'm here getting drunk with you, and I'm flying to Miami and never coming back.
Exactly. Wow. Ask me if I got a spare room in Chicago here.
Hey, correct me or not. Wasn't there a story once about a guy that left like $1 million in a briefcase at Riley's? You guys found it?
It wasn't quite a million, okay. But it was a lot of money. We had a night where there was a ton of. I think it was. It was the night where we had a huge snowstorm and a Southwest plane tragically. A five-year-old, it was the only fatality Southwest had. A plane skidded off the runway, and they just had the whole airport was canceled. And so everybody in the bar was there from, you know, there were storms on top of that happening.
Yeah.
Nobody left the whole day. So this guy, he looked like Corrado Soprano. He had the black frame glasses.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, the slick back white hair and whatnot. So he's got a black suit on, everything. So he just fit the part of a Sopranos character to a T.
Or that guy in the Great America commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right? Yeah. Or the Great America guy, yeah, jumping around. What ends up happening is it's the end of the night. We close up, and my dad there counting money. And we normally close in there about 10, you know, 10 o'clock at night. But if we have delays, we can stay open as late as we want. So,
wow, all right.
So we're there and whatever, and we're about ready to leave. So this guy comes up. We have those little accordion gates, and to shut the inside.
Yeah.
So we end up. We're about to leave. This guy comes up. He says, "Hey, somebody stole my briefcase." And we're like, "Sir, you haven't been here for a while. We already had, you know, we had the people clean the airport. We paid them to come in and mop and sweep and all that." So anyway, they got done with their thing, and, you know, nothing was left or anything.
Right.
So we're about to walk out, and this guy turns around after we say, yeah, we didn't find anything. And I had remembered seeing him sitting in the snug in the back there, you know. So
yep.
I reach underneath the bench because it's kind of recessed, and I pull out this briefcase, and I'm like, wow, this is, you know.
Yeah.
So my dad opens it, and he's, you know, just to say, you know, what's in it, you know, to is this yours kind of
right,
thing.
Yeah.
And chase them out. It was shrink-wrapped, plastic-wrapped, $100 bills. And it was like a satchel more than a briefcase. But,
yeah,
that was one of those guys that you just basically, you know, if you don't give it to him, and which, you know, we probably couldn't have, he would have remembered the next morning, and that's where you end up with the ice pick in your throat.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. You get clipped for not having the money.
Right. Exactly. It'd be like, yeah, we might get away with it for tonight, but I don't know about the next day. So
yeah.
So you guys gave Corrado Soprano his life back one night. Is that
pretty much. Pretty much. Boy.
Very nice of you.
And then he gave the money to the Don, and he got a job at Great America.
Yeah.
And they killed him anyway.
Yeah. Did you ever have any scrapples in the airport bar?
Oh, that's
a
good question. Yeah, airport bar fight.
You know, you would figure something like that wouldn't happen, but we've had a few. We had remember when the NATO summit was going on, all those crazy one percenters were all around the city and you know, pouring fake oil on themselves and protesting.
Yeah.
Well, this one gal comes in Riley's. I'm getting ready to close. It was starting the following day, so this is probably like a Thursday or whatever. And, you know, a lot of Chicago cops that work inside the airport are from Beverly, Mount Greenwood. A lot of these guys used to hang around Riley's, you know, on 111th here. So they stop in and, you know, we have a conversation. They stop in, grab a pop or something.
Yeah, and take off. Sure.
So, So, yeah, which is a shocker, I know. But
but they're surveying the situation. They're making sure everybody's okay.
Right. They're making sure everybody's good and whatnot. So I'm getting ready to close up anyways, and this girl comes in and, decent looking gal, and she sits down at the bar, orders like a harp and a shot of Jameson or something. I go in the back room, and I'm back there, you know, getting a case of beer and doing a little bottle inventory. And sure. I come back out, you know, there's only a couple people left, and like I said, I was getting ready to close. I come back out, she's sitting on the top of the bar, banging her beer glass. I was like, what do you think you're doing? You know, I go, and so she's like, I'm like, you owe me $21.50, whatever it was, you know. And
she must have had one beer.
Exactly. Well, that's what I said. There's the benefits to the airport, you know, sure. You can kind of get away with that.
How much is it again? It's $12.50.
So she's, I'm not paying, you know, starts slamming her glass down. And I turn around again. She takes, we have salt and pepper shakers, glass ones for the Bloody Marys.
Sure. Yeah.
She takes the shaker and tries to whip it at me.
Oh.
And luckily it didn't hit the cooler. We had these glass bottle coolers. It missed.
Oh, so it would have shattered it, yeah.
Yeah, it would have shattered it, and, you know, definitely. So I saw one of our Chicago cop friends, Bob, and I kind of walked out in the food court. I'm like, Bob, he runs in, and I said, this lunatic just tried throwing a shaker. Now, she had gotten off of her airplane. She had already landed, and she came in. She was already had a few or whatever. So I said, Bob, this lunatic just whipped a salt shaker or pepper shaker in my head, whatever it was. And so he grabs her by the arm, and he goes, all right, Anna Nicole, let's go. It was great. But he just brought her out on the other side of security. But this is the funniest part about it. So that was like Thursday night or whatever, and he had seen this girl because he escorted her out past security, and I had seen her because I served her.
Oh yeah.
They show me a video on Monday, and it, in the police station, the C concourse, in the airport there, they show me this video, and they're like, "You got to come see this."
Yeah.
They're like, "Is this the girl that was in here on Thursday that threw that shaker?" And so Bob's like, "Isn't that her?" And we're both looking at him like, "Oh my God, I cannot believe it! It was the girl. She was at the NATO summit protesting, covered in like fake oil." Like,
yes.
Tied with, like, chains on protesting. You know,
wow.
The same lunatic on the news. We got booted out, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Loonies were my favorite. Brendan, the bar that I worked at for a number of years, Kevel's, we used to have, like, whenever there's, like, a full moon, it was always the night where, like, there'd be nobody out. It would be a dead night at the bar. We're right off the L, right? Right at the end, the last stop on the Green Line, right at Harlem and South Boulevard.
Circle.
Yeah. And every time I would work, and it'd just be like the loonies would come in, and you'd be a little bit, you'd be a little bit apprehensive, you know, because I'd be like, I don't want to get stuck up right now.
Absolutely. You don't know whether they're going to stick you up, or they want to, like, pull a Jeffrey Dahmer on you, or you don't know.
I hate when that happens.
I hate when
the Jeffrey Dahmer gets pulled on me.
Yeah. Son of a bitch, I'm missing a kidney.
Yeah.
I got a pack a piece.
Anyway,
hey, Brendan, I actually, I was going to ask, are you moving now? Were you still living in a South Loop?
Yeah, guys, I am living in the South Loop, so I don't know for how much longer.
I was
going
to say, do you have to move to the Bev now?
Back to the Bev.
Yeah, back to Beverly. Yeah, I don't know.
Listen to him. He's like, can I do this?
It's a trap, guys.
I know
it's
it
a
is.
Trap.
How old were you when you moved out of Beverly for the first time?
I've been in the south end of the Loop for the better half of seven plus years.
Okay.
And the nice thing, it's not that bad getting here because I'm against traffic. I normally come in,
right?
You know, in the morning at 9 or 10 or something, and there's no traffic getting here. It takes me 25 minutes.
I live in Oak Park, and. I'm driving every day. My new liquor territory is out on the south side. Do all the corporate chains.
You could just keep like a little crash pad somewhere, Brendan. That way you don't have
that's
to fully.
I think I'm fully. That's my next move, I think, guys.
Yeah, just like a room at one of your buddies' joints. Be like, if I'm loaded, just give me a key and I'll crash on that couch. That's the way to do it. That way you're not in Godfather 3. You know, you don't get sucked back in.
Exactly.
Oh man, yeah. So, but I'm enjoying the South Side when I'm out there. I actually had a woman spot me today in a Meijer, the Meijer on 95th Street, on 92nd Street, across like down the street from the Plaza.
Mm-hmm. The Plaza's revamping itself, I believe, isn't it?
And
the Plaza on 95th and Westford.
Yeah,
Yeah, they're doing. There's a lot of construction going on over there. Yeah, they're giving it a facelift, I think.
Well, I'll tell you. I think the last time I was at a Carson Terry Scott there in about 2001.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? I think it was when I don't know. My dad and I had to stop there. He needed like something real quick, and it was still there. Was a couple stores still left in there.
Yeah.
And we were in there all of about 4 seconds, and I thought I was gonna get. You're talking about those crazies out on
yeah.
on the full moon night. That was kind of what I thought was going to happen in the Carson Perry Scott.
So I'm in, I'm in this. I'm in a Meijer today.
You got shanked at Carson Perry.
I'm in a Meijer today on at 92nd and Western in the Meijer, and it's one of my liquor stops. So I'm in there and I'm walking the shelf to see what they need.
They're crossing the rainbow cone, right?
Absolutely, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm walking the shelves to see what they need, and this woman, like, I'm talking to one of the buyers, and this woman. She's coming by me. She goes by me with her cart, and she's staring at me, and she's got like this confused look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at her, and I'm like,
"You go, it's me, Ryan Reynolds."
I go, "Excuse me, do you know me?" And I'm like, "Wait a minute, I know you." And she goes, "I'd know a Houlihan anywhere where I saw one." And I was like, "Oh man, I've been waiting for this to happen to me out here. I didn't even grow up out there. It's just like she's like, you look like your family. I know who you are."
And who was she?
She was actually, come on, we know her. I know her really well. It was Betsy Rule. It was Buddy Rule's wife.
Oh, Buddy Rule, Brady Rule.
Yeah. She's like, "What's up, Mr. Houlihan?" And I'm like, "Oh, wow, so nice to see you, Mrs. Rule."
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen her in a while.
Exactly. There's a reason that I moved to the South Loop, and that kind of is one of them, you know? Yeah. Stuff like that. You go to anywhere, you're at Keene Gas Station here in our neighborhood, 111th, or still on Raleigh Keene.
I saw Raleigh. He was at my cousin's wedding recently.
Senior or junior?
Junior.
Or both.
Junior.
Junior, yeah. I saw, I just was with both of them over the past weekend. And, you know, it's a great neighborhood because that doesn't exist elsewhere, you know, and it's all Southsiders, you know, cops, firemen, city workers. Everybody knows everybody.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It doesn't exist in most areas, but it's also... it also can, you know, you don't have any privacy in a lot of aspects of
Northwest,
what you do.
Yeah, Northwest Side's got a little bit of that too, though, the Edison Park
area. Oh, for sure, yeah, Edison Park and up in that area in Oak Park, yeah, it's very similar.
Fundraiser Central, that's what my my prediction is for the new Rileys. Crazy McGaffin going on in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, I hope you guys can both make it out here. I know you're... Your dad and Skinny and, you know, the Southside crew, hopefully.
Wait a
on the
second.
19th.
Does Chicago have slot machines in the bars yet?
They don't, but we are right on the Chicago-Oak Lawn border here.
Does Oak Lawn have machines?
They sure do,
yes.
I believe.
Yes, they do, yes.
Is the new Rileys going to have poker machines?
They might have a machine or two in here, guys.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Those are deal breakers, man, at this point for me sometimes. I mean...
it's like an ex you don't want to see. If you walk in and know they're here, you're gonna have to touch them. Or
yeah, that's the big problem with them. Like, if there was one in the bar where I was working on those slow nights, I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna take my shift pay, I'm gonna pump it really right.
I'm gonna take half of what I make and throw the machine and give it back to them
every night. That's why it's a bar owner's dream. It's like just the little tool to keep all your money. Like, there's my hedge.
Yeah.
I just hedge my bet on all my employees. I got them hooked on hot rocks.
They don't have them in Forest Park, so I don't have to worry about the temptation zone.
Yeah. The way the zones are kind of laid out, it's all up to the area where you're at. So, I mean, literally right now I'm looking across the street. I'm looking at the Chicago Ag School. And I'm looking out the front window here, and so literally across the street is the city of Chicago. We're right on the other side.
Yeah.
So we're the closest border, we're the closest border to, from Chicago to Oak Lawn here. So
are you guys gonna be serving lunch at Rileys? Like,
we are. We're gonna be doing lunch 11 a.m. We're gonna start serving lunch every day. So
wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a big.
Hey,
I know where
to go for lunch now because I'm working out
you
there
do.
All day long. I'm like, I just need to stop.
Stop
somewhere.
Over on your way after Meijer. You can come over here, maybe go get a rainbow cone.
I got the. Yeah. I have the Food for Less on 121st and Pulaski. I've got the Jewel on 120th and Pulaski.
Oh yeah,
I'm all over the place.
Yeah,
I'm everywhere. I'm all over that neighborhood all day long. So
Brendan,
I'll be stopping in.
We're talking real estate. Brendan, when you go to Vegas, what's your spot?
Well, you know, as weird as it sounds, I actually like the Flamingo location-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, everything on the Strip, but with big groups, they usually have some pretty good, you know, the Flamingo, the MGM Grand, although the MGM Grand has this smell. I don't know what it is. I don't gamble more in there versus anywhere else, but the smell of the MGM Grand, they say out of your five senses, smells the strongest, like tied to memory. Every time I smell a smell that's similar, I think I'm in the MGM Grand, and I just think about gambling, so it must work.
Did you ever win a lot of money at the MGM Grand?
Won it, but then drank 400 beers and lost it. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it does. I was staying at Caesars while I was there, shooting craps. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I can talk about my Vegas trip, but a lot of people can't. I'm making two episodes.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, it's more painful, it's hard to talk about. I always figure.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's why you continually keep talking about it.
Right. Well, what I want to ask you, Brendan, is like, sometimes one of the things that I noticed on the way home from Vegas was that, the people that boarded the airplane, and you might see this coming through Midway, they like, remember how you'd go to a Sox game and you'd get like a Mini Minoso cup or like a Ventura like cup of your Coke, and it was plastic and you'd stack them and take them home, sure, and like have them at your house. But so like one of the things I know is like the people from Vegas were all bringing back their cups that they got on like the Strip, like big slushy cups.
When you get taken of every dollar you win in Las Vegas, that's when you start stealing hotel ashtrays, towels, any souvenir, any stuff that you feel like you won something after they take all your cash.
That should be a new gimmick at Riley's when you're done. Take your cups with you. Recycle. Yeah. Take those home.
It's funny because we just had cups that I was with the fellas from Hayes Beer Distributors, sure, which is our Miller, rep here. And we have these glasses that they're going to say light on them, and then we have Riley's daughter logos on the other side.
You used to have them at the old one, right?
Right.
Yeah, I got a couple. We had them at our house.
Serve the beer in plastic. Right. Yeah, I like the logic behind that. You're like, no, nope, right, we don't want any.
Will there be a lot of merchandise, like T-shirts, hats, all
that
kind
of
stuff?
The day we signed the deal here to come back in was the day that Yogi Berra died, so we've been rolling this quote. It's deja vu all over again on a lot of our nice ads and whatnot we're putting out.
Okay.
It's kind of fitting with the day Yogi dies is the day we sign here, so we're getting these shirts made up that have a little Yogi, it's deja vu all over again, because it's definitely kind of feels that way right now for me, because I almost feel like we didn't leave, like we've been here the whole time. So it's kind of weird.
At Midway now, when you were bartending over at Riley's, did you have a lot of any Chicago athletes come in there?
Get celebs in there?
You know, retired athletes. Joakim Noah has actually been in there a couple times.
Okay.
We actually get, my dad was just with him the other day. It was his father's the head coach at Creighton. McDermott.
Doug McDermott, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so
he's an Irishman. That's why he stopped in. Have you ever had a celebrity come in there and go, "You don't know who I am"?
I haven't, but I'm sure that's. You don't know how I'm a huge big deal. You got to pick up my beers.
Tanya Harding was in there.
Done without.
Oh, I thought you were about to say that Jeff Galooly and Tanya Harding were pounding Jaeger bombs in there one night.
It amazes me that you've seen that video, because a lot of people have asked me. And I haven't seen that video myself.
Are you talking about the dirty Tanya Harding? That video? That one that... Oh, that was every eighth grader's jam for like a year.
Yes. It was a big thing back in the day, right?
Wow.
But she was in and thought, she was loving every little bit of publicity. People were right, just anybody giving her a bit of recognition, I should say. Anybody that was paying her any bit of attention, she loved it. We were pulling her behind the bar.
She was really at Riley's? This is not a gag? Was she really?
This is not a joke. I'm dead serious. She was in there for about 5 hours.
Yeah. Tanya Harding was getting blasted.
Harding. She lived in Washington, the state of Washington, and she was going to Atlantic City. There was, because remember how she did that like fake celebrity boxing thing? She was a boxer.
Oh yeah, yes.
So she was going to Atlantic City, some casino there that paid her to be just like
they had to fight somebody,
you know,
fight Screech,
whatever their new boxing facility they opened. So I guess all the good celebrities were on vacation that weekend, so they had to get Tonya Harding. So she was flying out there, got delayed, and spent like 6 hours in Riley's, 5-6 hours. It was a pretty eventful evening, I can say that.
Get her back for the reopen.
We're with Brendan.
Oh, yeah. She'd be great here with all the Southside. Sure.
They'd love her. We're with Brendan O'Brien. We've been talking about the grand new opening of Riley's daughter. It's deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Right there on, Brendan, what's that, on 111th?
111th and Pulaski, 4010 West 111th and Pulaski and 111th Street border here, yeah.
All right, November, we're going to talk a little 19th. Bit. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about it after this quick message.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in 4 states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
Come into my office, Mr. Finnegan. How can I help you?
Doctor, you got to help me. I'm having panic attacks, terrible anxiety.
You just need some hooliganism.
Hooliganism? What is that, some new medicine?
It's an elixir for what ails you, Mr. Finnegan.
Is it a pill? Do you swallow it?
It'll relax you. Rick Hogan of WGN says it oozes Chicago. He also says it's fantastic.
But what the heck is it?
It's the new book by Mike Houlihan. Everyone's talking about it. Frank West of the Irish American News says it's filled with human warmth and you should read it when you need a good laugh.
Hooliganism, the book. Hey, my wife said you were a doctor.
I am a doctor, and hooliganism is my prescription. The New World said Southsiders are ranking up with the Book of Kells.
What about my irregularity?
Read Hooliganism. You'll find it very moving.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
I'm a psychiatrist, Mr. Finnegan, and I can tell what you need is a nice dose of hooliganism.
But my wife said you had her undress and you examined her.
Yes, she appears to be very healthy, Mr. Finnegan. Oh, nurse...
Hooliganism is the new book by Mike Houlihan. You can purchase it online at www.mikehoolihan.com or at any of Chicago's finer Irish gift shops.
Nurse, will the doctor be giving me a prescription for hooliganism?
Do you have insurance, Mr. Finnegan?
I've been hooliganed.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
The name's Francis Sawyer. But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Ooh.
You just made the list, buddy. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. Just keep your meat hooks off. If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you. Also, I don't like nobody touching me. Now, any of you homos touch me, and I'll kill you.
Lighten up, Francis.
Stripes.
Gotta love worn oats.
That's right. In honor of our veterans, we play a little Psycho.
Yeah.
From Stripes.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Also somebody who may have hung out at one time or another at Riley's daughter, perhaps.
Very possible.
Who, worn oats?
No, but worn oats for sure. But yeah, probably a couple of Psychos as well. I've had guys like that in my bar where you start talking to them, he goes, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wonder why your wife yeah. and your kids won't talk to you. It makes sense now.
Hey, how's it going? What brings you in? Don't talk to me. I won't. I won't serve you either. You can stand outside.
I'm going to sit here and cry into my beer by myself.
Yeah. No, and then the guy muddles to himself, and then an hour goes by, and he goes,
Where'd you go to high school? I go, oh, thought you didn't want to talk to me. Oh, now you want to talk to me. Now that you've milled over your 8 whiskeys, you want to get chatty.
You know who I would have liked to talk to? Who we looked at this little bar on the north side one time to buy. Somebody called us about it. It was on, like, right by Halligan Bar, you know, up on, like, 2200 North on Lincoln there. It was a little bar called Sterk's.
Oh, I know it.
I know it well.
Yeah, it was a little tiny joint, and their claim to fame was that Hunter S. Thompson broke the urinal off the wall, hammered in there one night. That was their selling point.
That's a pretty good selling point, actually.
That's a pretty good selling point.
Yeah, yeah. Was that place across the street from, like, Casey or Kelsey's or Kendall's? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's on Lincoln Avenue.
There's so many bars right there, you know.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, Barleycorn.
Churches, I know it.
Barleycorn's right there. Yeah, there's a good number of joints.
I thought it was owned by a trader from the Board of Trade, Sturch's. I don't know. Maybe it was
it?
Sturch's, Sturch's.
Yeah.
Sturch's or something, yeah.
I thought our buddy Jim Amator's wife, who's a Sturch, like, had some, her family had a piece of it or something.
I think they did of some sort. Really? I'm not sure. Yeah. Small world.
Oh.
Bar world. Brendan, I had an idea for a TV show that was like Cheers on acid, all right?
That sounds like a good show to me.
Uh-huh. I wanted to call it Bar World, was the name of the
Bar
show.
Bar World, right.
Yeah.
It's on HBO.
And does John Taffer come up and insult the hell out of you and then
no,
want to hit him afterwards?
Taffer could exist in Bar World, I guess, but... He wouldn't make it very long in this bar world. This is kind of like Mickey Rourke, Barfly meets Cheers kind of mesh. The idea was
like that Patrick Swayze with Roadhouse material, or
yeah, ooh,
nice. I like that.
Yeah, you got to
throw that in there.
Got to have a Dalton in every story, don't you?
Or Peter Griffin when he's redoing it from Family Guy when he's Roadhouse. Remember when he gets the big Roadhouse thing?
Roadhouse is one of those movies that when it's on, you leave it on because you just got to see.
You leave it on.
You got to laugh.
I remember
it's
that.
Like when Goodfellas comes on. I can't turn that off. Roadhouse.
That was a Boback. We had a friend, our buddy Mike Boback. We used to call these Boback family movie nights. it was like an R-rated movie that Mr. Boback somehow like slipped out of his hands and we were able to watch. But I remember like top movies were like Roadhouse was one. I think we saw Toxic Avenger. And then for some odd reason, Mr. Baseball.
Tom Selleck?
Yeah, which is not a real good one. But
no, it was a...
But Roadhouse was great. And I just remember that we used to... Kelly Lynch. Oh, this Irish lass, that Kelly Lynch.
Kelly Lynch. I know a few Kelly Lynch.
She gets butt naked in the movie. And I remember that was a rewind portion of like... Don't remember much of Roadhouse other than that. Then
or you keep rewinding it so many times that the actual tape gets bad at that point. It's of the,
the old VHSs, sure.
The old VHSs.
Oh, how come it's all scratchy in this scene? My mom magnetized it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Does Riley's have a Dalton? Are you guys going to hire yourself a Dalton? Do you get like a big bouncer?
You know,
at the door?
I think I got a guy. Dalton was just a... You know, a unique individual. What did he have, like that old sweet Mercedes under a tarp that he pulled out of the barn?
Uh-huh. Was it Brad Wesley's? Was it Brad Wesley's car that he stole or something?
Brad
or was it...
Wesley.
Yeah.
So we got to get a guy to roll up in the parking lot here, untarp his car, roll up in some cowboy boots,
yeah,
put on a Riley's hat, and just get after it.
Like a satin, like members-only Riley's jacket with like a shamrock on the back of it.
And just karate kick people out the door.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
He's kind of like Riggs from Lethal Weapon. Like Dalton meets Riggs. Like he's got a Riley's jacket.
But what was the guy? Who was Dalton's buddy in Roadhouse? Was it Sam Shepard?
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
And he gets like.
Although I believe Sam Shepard was hired for rewrites on Roadhouse. They were like, we got to get some better writing. Dalton needs some better.
We got to boost his character.
So hey, how many people are going to be manning the bar at Riley's on a Friday or Saturday night? How many guys are you going to have behind that bar?
Well, we're thinking. You know, we figure it's better off to hire. You know. It's better with more staff than less staff because we're not exactly knowing what to expect at the very beginning.
Right.
So we're going to be going with, our grand opening, I think we got three bartenders in the morning and four or five, I think, at night. Plus, if I got to get back there, we have, I think, six waitresses. I mean,
Wow.
It's a big joint, so it's better safe than sorry. And plus, just being new, and you know, you haven't built that relationship up with your coworkers yet, so nobody really knows anybody. I mean, certain people know each other from the neighborhood, but they haven't worked together.
Right.
So it's going to be, I think, a little, you know, we're going to try to do, it's like any new business. You're going to try to do your best with you know, what you got the first week or two.
And now you're going to
Everybody get in here, taste the chicken sandwich, taste it. Is it good?
Yeah.
I want everybody, but we're going to go down the line. Everyone's going to describe how it tastes and what's in it. Let's go.
You have to do that.
We had a thing tonight, and we had, you know, that we just want to start out with that. We had a little employee handbook that we gave to all our new hires, and kind of went through the Riley's rules, so to speak.
Sure.
And we'll see how many of those get followed after week three. We're going to try to see if at least 50% of them we can maintain.
Is there going to be now, like, do you have a big cocktail list? Are you going to be doing, like, lots of classic or, you know, like, cocktails or
crafts? We're going to stick with our Southside roots and go with the
Jameson and Fireball shots?
Go with the Jameson Fireball and Bomb shots.
There
and
you go.
Anything more than that, it's.
Yeah. You're getting into tomfoolery. What about food? Are you going to do like traditional, like Irish kind of fare stuff?
Well, we have like these unique, they're pocket sandwiches. You got
Irish hot pockets?
They're basically Irish hot pockets. It's similar, but they're way better.
Yeah.
Hey,
Dalton, relax. Have an Irish hot pocket. Jeez, I don't know why you got so fired up.
You can have a hot pocket.
Hey,
you hate yourself. We might even give you some Tostino pizza rolls.
That's right. Sure. Hey, are you gonna, like, how are you gonna do it now with your bartenders? Are you gonna rotate the different guys working together to see which people have the best chemistry?
Yeah, I mean, I look through, you know, everybody's resumes. We look through and just, you know, who has the most experience for what night. I mean, obviously you're not going to put somebody that's coming over from Jimmy John's behind the bar on a Friday night. So,
no way.
You know, that guy goes, he you know, works with Dalton at the door and works his way up.
Sure.
He goes, know? And you get me a Hunter's Club, go across the street, get me a Hunter's Club on Rye. Number two. You got to have the babes, man. That's what's going to move the product.
Well, that brings the fellas in. So, yeah.
Well, we're very excited, Brendan. Thanks for coming on the program and taking time out of your night.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing you out here.
Let's hear those
cocktails.
Absolutely. Let's hear the address and the dates again that it's opening up.
The address here is 4010 West 111th Street. We're right at the corner of 111th and Pulaski on the Chicago-Oakland border. Our grand opening, reopening here at Riley's is on November the 19th at 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
There you go.
Get there early. What day is that? What day is that?
That is a Thursday.
That's when Dalton rips it. Always.
That is when Dalton gets after it at the door.
Hey, are Thursdays still like the college kid night to go out?
It's a big night, yeah.
You know, you're going to get a lot of kids probably from St. Zav's, aren't you?
Well, St. Zav's is right down the block. So
yeah.
We hired a couple people from there. We're going to try to get some
smart move.
Some alumni stuff with them and whatnot. So, yeah, that's the hope.
Absolutely. Well, Brendan, congratulations. We'll see you November 19th.
All Brendan right, guys, O'Brien, everybody it. Of Riley's Daughter. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
I said thanks, everybody, like there were 80 people in the room.
Like you were thanking all of us for taking part.
Thanks for keeping the show moving right along.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be something else out there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm excited to go out there. I haven't been there since I was a kid. But I have fond memories.
I mean, I remember going out there.
I met John Stroger there once.
Did you? When he was running. I know I was there for like...
I said, John Stroger, nice to meet you. He goes, how you feeling?
He goes, get away from me.
No, he just goes, how you feeling?
How you feeling?
Real good.
I was at a bunch of fundraisers there. I know that as a kid. I remember going over there with Dad a few times. Every now and then. I think we were there once on parade day, too.
That's probably the biggest day of the year there. I would presume that it'll go right back to that tradition.
Oh, man.
The O'Brien reach goes far across Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was Brendan O'Brien.
Opening up Riley's Daughter, a Southside tradition.
11 a.m. November 19th. Clay, any weekend fun for you?
Nope. A little work.
You don't kick it. No more bar life for Clay.
No, it's almost, it'll be 10 years in April since I've drank.
So wow.
God bless you.
Yeah.
And you don't miss it, do you?
No, and I'm sure the bartenders don't miss my antics either.
Best bar owners don't drink. It's one of the things I've always noticed.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they're at the bar all the time.
Well, that's why you don't. Yeah.
That's why they got gray hair.
Yeah. Being in the bar world, that show, I'm telling you, like, got to get that going off the ground.
Yeah.
I always have these wacko ideas. Clay, what was your, you wanted to, Clay texted me this week and goes,
you can't tell anyone that.
Yeah, I guess
they're
going to
take it. Yeah. No, keep it under wraps. Come on. Okay. You're smarter than that.
Save it
because when it comes out.
I'll say one thing. It's about a referee. Clay's had a fascination with referees for years.
Yeah.
Do you remember the political candidate that you wanted to make up that was a referee? His name was Terry Ryalarevic.
I want to know the secret lives of referees.
The secret lives of referees.
Yeah.
God, what a great title.
Now it'll be on E next week.
Yeah. Pat, you got any plans this weekend? Yeah.
No, I'm going to be working at the Carlton, I believe.
I'll be there with you. We got to work a big wedding.
Yeah. We worked a very sweet wedding last week, and we were the hit of the party.
Oh, I didn't work. I was in the main bar area that night. So.
It was a lot of fun. Well, yeah. Until next week, this has been the Hoolies Hoolie. We'll see you later. Goodbye.